Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Do members of the Mormon Church have to pay in order to be forgiven? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We all know that giving to one's church is an important aspect of many religious faiths, and we're not going to begrudge the fact that the Mormon Church does encourage its people to give to the church in order to further the cause of the LDS church, because in Christian circles, we hold to something very similar. And Christian, if you don't give towards the function of your church, let me just say, shame on you. You should be. If you care for what your church is doing in the community and you feel that they're doing something positive, then by all means, you should be supporting financially your church. Our problem when it comes to Mormonism, however, is when tithing, as they call it, goes beyond mere goodness of your heart, a giving out of the abundance of your heart, and it gets into something that has to be mandatory in order even to be forgiven.
I'm looking at Gospel Principles. It's a church manual. This is from 2009, and they have chapter 32. It says tithes and offerings. And I just read through this chapter, Bill, and I have seen the word willing about five or six times. Let me just quote you a few. Underneath the questions, paying tithes and offerings, the question is, how does our willingness to pay tithes and offerings show gratitude to our Heavenly Father? Later in that paragraph, willingly paying tithes and offerings is one way we thank Him. On the next page, on page 186, we should give willingly as a subhead. And it says, after the question, it is important to give willingly, quoting 2 Corinthians 9:7, where Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver. And then on page 188, they said, the blessings we have been promised are both material and spiritual. If we give willingly, Heavenly Father will help us provide for our daily needs of food, clothes, and shelter. Now, in this entire chapter, I didn't see one area that said that a person had to give. They are not being coerced. They're doing it willingly. That's what I'm getting out of this chapter.
Well, Eric, come on. We all know that you pay your income tax willingly, right?
Yeah, see, that doesn't make any sense because I'm required to do that.
Well, you don't have to, though.
If I don't, then I suffer consequences.
Exactly. And that's the problem that we have with the Mormon version, because if you look at what Mormon leaders have said about true repentance and the ability to receive forgiveness, paying your tithe is absolutely essential. And this has been said many more times than just one time. We find plenty of instances where the member of the LDS church is told that if they are going to truly repent, they must pay their tithe. If they don't, they are not expressing true repentance. And if you don't express true repentance in Mormonism, of course, you don't receive the forgiveness that is necessary if you hope to achieve the celestial kingdom. Now, I'm looking at a manual here, True to the Faith, which came out in 2004, I believe. On page 135, it says, full obedience brings the complete power of the gospel into your life, including increased strength to overcome your weaknesses. This obedience includes actions you might not initially consider part of repentance, such as attending meetings, paying tithing, giving service, and forgiving others. The Lord promised, quoting from D&C 132, 1 verse 32, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. Do you see the connection there? If you hope to receive forgiveness, you need to repent. Repentance includes paying tithing.
It sounds kind of innocuous. I mean, attending meetings, okay, that's generally understood. Giving service, forgiving others, those seem to be real general. It's interesting that they got the tithing part put in there. Quickly explain to those who don't know what tithing settlement is.
Well, that's when a Mormon has to meet with, I believe, the bishop, and he is supposed to give his financial statement, and he is supposed to give his tithes, pay his tithes according to his income. And they know how much you're supposed to give. And if you are in arrears, you are supposed to catch up. And you can imagine the burden placed on a lot of Latter-day Saints. This can be a heavy burden.
So what are the consequences if a person does not tithe what he's supposed to?
Well, if he doesn't tithe, then he doesn't qualify for the temple recommend, because you have to be paid up in your tithes in order to get a temple recommend. It's kind of a vicious circle here. If you want to go to the celestial kingdom, you have to go to the temple. If you want to go to the temple, you have to have a temple recommend. In order to get a temple recommend, you have to have a full tithe paid up. So it all goes back to the money. It all goes back to finances. And again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, many times we find LDS leaders emphasizing the paying of the tithe as part of that repentance process in order to gain forgiveness. Now, in 1995, in General Conference, Richard G. Scott, he said, "This step requires no holding back. If one neglects his tithing, misses his meetings, breaks the Sabbath, or fails in his prayers and other responsibilities, he is not completely repentant. The Lord knows, as do we, the degree of full and sufficient compliance we make with these fundamental aspects of the law of repentance, which is really God's law of progress and fulfillment." Notice that Mr. Scott includes in there, as a part of your repentance, you better not neglect your tithing. So it's all connected. Now, one of our listeners sent us a very interesting connection with this, and I think it bears repeating what he said to us. And he mentions how if you look at the Book of Mormon, in the Book Mormon 8:32, Mormon 8:32, it says this, "Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up that shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins."
That seems like it's maybe coming back to haunt the Mormon church, because what you're quoting here from a General Conference, what we're quoting from a church manual from 2004, it sure sounds like, can we use the word coercion?
Well, I have used the word coercion, and that's where I feel like when the Gospel Principles Manual that you were citing earlier talks about willingness, and I've had Mormons tell me that they willingly give. That's fine. I'm sure there are some that really do, but I'm sure there's also some that know very well that if they don't do this, they are going to pay a very heavy price. In other words, they are going to forfeit any hope of being exalted in the celestial kingdom. They're going to forfeit their potential godhood. They must pay the tithe. And when you say you have to do this, I tend to agree, that word willingness seems to lose a lot of its impact. It's again going back to, you know, well, I'm willing to pay my taxes. Yeah, I write out the check. I sign the check. And I send it into the IRS, and I'm willing to do that. But as you mentioned, Eric, I do it willingly only because if I don't, I'm going to pay a heavy price. I'm going to be fined, and I'm going to probably go to jail if I had that much taxes to pay.
Here's a quote from Second President Brigham Young. What's your response? The law of tithing is an eternal law.
An eternal law. Well, what's interesting about that statement, it's kind of misleading in that the law of tithing was something that actually became a part of Mormonism after the law of consecration really kind of fizzled out. And that was when a person joined the Mormon church, they consecrated all their belongings and their property to the LDS church. That didn't really work very well, so they had to make a change. Now, if Brigham Young is trying to imply that we find tithing in the Old Testament, okay, yeah, he's probably right. But nowhere do we find in a New Testament concept, and remember, the Mormon church claims to be a New Testament church, even though it practices a lot of Old Testament, you know, practices. But it claims to be a true Christian church. We don't find anywhere in the New Testament where if a person is not able or even willing, they should be, But if they're not willing, that they forfeit their salvation. We don't find that. Now, I want to emphasize again, I'm not trying to criticize the Mormon Church because they encourage people to give to their church. I'm not saying that. As Christians, in an evangelical context, we should be willing to do that. Sadly, a lot of Christians don't. And I will emphasize, shame on them if they don't give to their church.
And you can call it tithing, or I think you can call it whatever you want as far as New Testament times. Regardless of what you call it, the Bible, as you said, Bill, does require Christians to take this very seriously, that God does love a cheerful giver. And when Paul was collecting an offering from the Corinthians, he said, give generously, give it out of your heart.
Hilariously, I think is the Greek word, isn't it? Something like that. You're supposed to give up from the abundance of your heart.
Yeah, and that's something that we believe as Christians we do with good works. The good works that come, including giving of our money, is not a tax payment we're making in order to get our salvation. Salvation has already come freely. It's what we do beyond that. That's called sanctification. We've talked about that lots of times, Paul.
We have very often. And I think I want to go back to the suggestion of one of our listeners, because he did point this out. I don't know why. I never saw this before. I mean, he brought it to my attention, and he's absolutely correct. It's when you say in Mormon 8:32, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up that shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. My question to our LDS listeners out there, how is this not speaking of the current LDS church?
Wow.
Which has so many times, and we can easily document, where its leaders have emphasized that if you hope to be forgiven, you better be paid up on your tithing. You cannot neglect your tithing. If you do neglect your tithing, you are not truly repentant. If you're not truly repentant, you are not forgiven. Mormon 8:32, I think, speaks directly of the Mormon Church. And I'd be curious to know how many Latter-day Saints would argue that it probably not connected. I would like to hear their rebuttals to that, but it sure seems clear to me that Mormon 8:32 is actually speaking of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I totally agree with you, Bill.
And that certainly is not what the New Testament church was teaching. We don't find that at all.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to this sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. Always be prepared to give an answer.